If 1 week is too long in sport, it's much longer in podcasting. Our third host, Mr. Tanush Baru, is on a break and he should be back next week. But the show continues. As we always say, I am Saru and here I have with me Mr. Arush.
Hi everyone.
How are you, Arush?
I'm doing good. What a week it was.
Yeah, what a week. So there are just too many things to talk about. Let's see how fast we can go with this. Arsene Wenger, he can't beat Mourinho again.
So, what is the record? I mean, do you have any idea?
So, it was, I think they played 14 games, 6 draws, 8 wins for Mourinho. Or 15 games, 6 draws for Wenger, 8 wins for Mourinho, and 1 win for Arsene Wenger in the Community Shield.
In the Community Shield.
Which is, I call it a glorified friendly, but mine is a very coloured opinion, as they would say.
So, bottom line, Saru, as you were saying, that Arsenal lost again, despite of so many histrionics in that match.
Yeah, I mean, let's try to divide two things. The first half, it seemed like an even game. And basically, Chelsea seemed like they were picking up the game. Arsenal had almost no clear chances.
Yeah.
So it seemed like an even thing. And everyone thought it'll be a 0-0. And then our man, Diego Costa, says, no. I need to contribute really in this game. And he manufactures this amazing red card, which is out of nothing. And against the wrong player, it was not even Gabriel's fight to pick in with.
Exactly.
So why do you think Gabriel got in between?
I think he was acting just like a proper typical Delhi guy. Bhai ko kaise haath lagaya?
Yeah, exactly, dude. In La Liga, there's a huge history between Diego Costa
exactly,
and Gabriel.
I think
so
2 years ago also, I think there was...
Yeah. So Costa elbowed Gabriel and there was a red card and there's obviously bad blood between them. But again, I come to the point, it was not Gabriel's fight to begin with. So why did he act... Even Arsene Wenger, in the post-match conference, he basically said, Diego Costa should be sent off, but I don't know what to say of my players. It's just hard to understand how they just like...
I think he just got into that trap which Diego Costa had built because he knew that somebody will definitely react and that somebody was Gabriel.
Yeah, Gabriel ran from somewhere
yeah.
and then he gets into this fight which Koscielny moves away. He's like, look, I am having none of this. And these guys just fight and then he gets sent off Gabriel and which is obviously like... And did you know, by the way, Costa... has no fouls in the game. There were no recorded fouls against Diego Costa in the Chelsea-Arsenal game. Can you imagine that? The man who's just dominating headline for all the wrong reasons has no fouls. And he has not had a red card in the league game since 2012.
So this is his first... Oh, no.
No,
it wasn't. Practically speaking.
That's the beauty of it. And then the hypocrisy starts. Oh, Diego Costa is such a cheat and all of that. Given that Arsenal wanted to buy Luis Suarez last year, who do you think is a bigger menace or bigger, as Arsenal fans say, bring disrespect to the game, Diego Costa or Luis Suarez?
Very subjective to the time, I think. Had it been just a week ago, you would have easily, I would have said it is Suarez, but now for sure it's Diego Costa. But now, like, aftermath of whatever happened...
Diego Costa hasn't bitten anyone till now.
Yeah. But, like, aftermath of whatever has happened now you see that Arsenal had asked for the review of decision and now what happened is Diego Costa is gone for 3 matches and Gabriel's red card has been gone now.
Yeah, Gabriel's red card rescinded, Diego Costa gone for 3 matches and it's actually quite interesting. Arush actually read a little about it. It's quite interesting on... how this Arsenal basically got Diego Costa to get banned for 3 games.
So, I was just reading an article by Gabriel Marcotti. So, now what happened is, so now from this starting this season, you can actually appeal against a decision with video evidence.
And so, this is video evidence which is not from the broadcaster or anyone. So, any video evidence or any video shot by anyone in the stadium... Can be used.
So what actually happened was, I think one of the cameramen from ESPN Brazil, who was there for pre-match and post-match interviews, had nothing to do during the match. So his camera was at some random angle and he caught that it was actually not stamping from Gabriel. And then they published this video in Brazil and then some Arsenal fans saw it. And then Arsenal got hold of that video and that was the main evidence against Diego Costa. So now what's happened is he's gone for 3 matches and his red card is gone. So actually the argument which I was reading is like there were 24 cameras already in that match. Then there were 18 other cameras from some correspondent or the other. And even then...
So there were 42.
42 cameras at a 3 p.m. match. And then it took an ESPN FC Brazil camera to catch hold of everything what happened. But that's pretty bizarre. Like, from next match, what do you
how many matches do you think Bournemouth versus Watford, let's say, if that match is happening, how many cameras would be in the stadium then? Not 42, right?
Not 42, obviously.
There'll be like 10, 12, whatever.
10, 12 cameras. Yeah. But that's pretty unfair now, because now can happen is like, imagine there is a camera continuously on a player like Costa or Rooney or anybody. So if you do anything wrong during the match, the team, the opposition, all they have to do is just prove that or just submit that video and then get you whatever.
Yeah, man, this is what gets me. This is just so bizarre about this decision. I mean, let me just first state that Diego Costa should have probably gone off.
Yeah.
All right.
But had it been a decision by the referee?
No, let's say even retrospectively, let's say he had violent conduct and he had to be gone off. Just, I don't know how they can just try and prove that Gabriel tried kicking and by mistake he could not stamp. He was so bad at it that he could not even stamp at such close range, and hence his red card should be removed. That is just bizarre for me.
And I think that's setting of a very wrong example. And I think
if I'm playing the game now and if I try to kick you and I miss the kick.
So all I need to just show is the footage and
that I'm actually so bad that I can't even kick you and then there'll be no red card for me. if I was Arsene Wenger, I would have just told Gabriel, look, you can't even kick a player properly and you are responsible for losing this match. So just get away and don't, Arsenal should on its own initiative ban Gabriel for 3 games.
But now what, Costa has gone for 3 games. One of the matches is, I think,
it's the, yeah, it's the Capital One Cup match against a lower division team. So
that would not matter.
He was anyway not going to start. It would have been the Falcao or Remy.
Okay, so the next one is
against Newcastle.
So again, I think that's
Saturday is Newcastle versus Chelsea. And given how Newcastle are playing, anyone, even probably Chennai and FC, can beat them at this point right now. So that should not be. It's only the week after that. Probably, but then Chelsea are actually taking quite a strong tone to this. They're like, if you're not satisfied with the written explanation of FA, they are actually contemplating going into arbitration. And I think their main problem probably is that how can you rescind Gabriel's red card while you give Diego Costa
exactly
a 3-match ban?
Any which way, even if whatever, if he didn't stamp or whatever, the kind of things he was doing after he was shown a red card was enough to get him a red card.
Yeah, but then, come on. I mean, he probably realized that I think that was the moment he realized. He fell for such a trap and he's been such an idiot. That poor guy. I mean, I don't know what to say of Gabriel, dude. He's ran from somewhere, came here and tried fighting with Costa when Koscielny was just walking away.
Yeah. But then I think there have been obviously a lot of articles against Diego Costa, what kind of a jerk he is. But then a lot of good people have actually written in favor of Diego.
All said and done, I think almost any team would have a pest, like a nightmare, a nuisance like Diego Costa in their team.
Exactly.
It's basically hypocrisy, according to me, that people are like, oh, we would not have him in this team. Arsenal should not be complaining of all that. You know why? They have the second highest amount of red cards in Premier League history.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So before the Everton game, Arsenal had equaled Everton's record of 79 red cards in the history of Premier League, which is the highest.
Oh, 79 is actually a too low a number, I thought. It'll...
Yes. And then Everton got a red card. And so now Everton is the highest with 80.
Woo!
Yeah.
Go Everton.
Go Toffees. What a name. We are Toffees. Will kick you out of the stadium. Yeah. So there was between 96 and 2004. Arsenal on an average got between 6 and 8 red cards every season. All right.
Okay.
So imagine that. Arsenal fans, or I don't think Arsene Wenger especially, should be complaining about Diego Costa. It's just sad that he could not find a player to replace, let's say, Martin Keown and things like that. Okay, that's about... we've not heard the last of this. It's going to go on for some more time. And given that Jose Mourinho is going to speak to the press very, very soon, that's today, if he ever chooses, that's going to be explosive as hell, if he actually chooses to say what he wants.
But I think this is one of the only times I actually want to listen to him.
Oh, if the club tells him, let it rip, Jose, I think he's going to bring the world down. He's going to make it so... it's going to make it nightmarish for... remember last year's campaign thing? if that was campaign, this is going to be something else altogether.
So, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for some spiced up fight, seriously.
Yeah, if okay. not on the field, we
so
don't know.
So, moving on to the next match. So, finally, City dropped some point in EPL.
Some. They dropped 3 points against the great West Ham team.
Which Hammers. And they've been hammering everybody, actually.
Away from home.
Away from home, yeah. Not so at home. Liverpool, Arsenal and City.
All away. All convincing. No, well, City was not that convincing. Yeah. But other two were absolutely convincing.
But I was reading actually in Premier League era, I think this is only the fourth time a team has defeated Arsenal, City and Liverpool away.
This is only the first time in 10 years a Premier League team has beaten
these last it happened was I think it's in 2005 or 6. And now what? They're just 3 points behind Manchester City.
Yeah, I mean, look at how table has changed in 1 week. We were like, oh, City is too good. No one can beat them, the form they are in. And then they go on to lose to Juventus.
Yeah.
And then they go on to lose to West Ham. Man United, they are basically doing whatever they can. They are like only 2 points
behind.
Chelsea is one. So I think Arsenal was the biggest loser in this weekend. And Liverpool, they drew again.
To be very honest, I've not seen them playing for like past 2-3 weeks because there is no interest left whatsoever. Neither are they winning good matches, nor is there any player left which is worth watching. But anyways, so what do you feel about, again, another ex-Chelsea player in West Ham's victory? Huh?
Dude, I told you this. This is Mourinho's plan. There is no way a club can have 33 people out on loan for the year. They have 8 players out on loan in Premier League.
Okay.
So they can't play against Chelsea. And they're all good players. Huh? Yeah. Victor Moses is a decent player.
Yeah, decent player.
So they get him signed on a new contract. And the next day they send him to West Ham. And look what he's done. He's brought Chelsea back somewhat. He's reduced the gap to 8 points. City's lost 2 games continuous. And it's an open Premier League fight again.
And in fact, I think City plays Tottenham next. And yes. That's an away game again. Oh.
This weekend, the first game of this weekend is Tottenham versus Manchester City. That's going to be an interesting one.
Okay.
It probably could be a draw.
What I think City has a brilliant team. At least the good thing for at least them is at least KDB is getting into some form.
Oh, you know, City's top four, the front four, is the most expensively assembled front four in the history of Premier League for sure.
Oh, in fact, even what I was reading is United's team against Southampton was one of the most expensive teams on the field ever.
Yeah. So the front four includes Aguero, KDB and Raheem Sterling. $309 million.
Holy shit.
I think that was the value of the front four which started. But man, what do I say? Mourinho had the one hand upper.
And then moving on to the next match, Man United and their new star, Anthony Martial.
Yes, 3 shots, 3 goals. Is he the new star, Anthony Martial?
Yeah, so the last podcast said, is he the next Henry or not?
Oh, he's had a start way better than
yeah,
Henry.
Seriously. Still too early to say, but yeah, he definitely is a talent. I mean, the goals he scored
yeah.
and the way he's managing things around, at least now, they don't have to wait for Rooney to score, I think.
Yeah, Rooney is now playing happily in the midfield. And Manu actually played decently for parts of the Southampton game. And they're obviously 2 points behind now after 6 games. In spite of no shots on goal or only shots on goal or Rooney not doing anything, they are now second.
Actually, the difference is now getting reduced now. And I think it will be an interesting one now. So talking about the same match.
Manu plays Sunderland.
Okay, so the next one is against Sunderland.
On Saturday. They are on all likelihood going to win. Sunderland, again yesterday, conceded 4 goals. So it's like, I don't know, why can't they just start a game with 4-0, like Jeffrey said. It's much easier for their fans. I mean, I'm thinking only from the fans' perspective. If someone tells the fan, look, you are going to concede 4 goals, why don't we just start with like probably a 3-0?
Yeah.
At least they won't have to see the first 3 goals.
So talking about this match and actually linking it, so while it takes 22 players 90 minutes to score 5 goals, we have another German star who scores 5 goals in 12 minutes.
Yes.
Lewandowski.
He's called the Polish Ian Rush. So Liverpool fans, don't worry. You have a history. We recognize it even now.
But what mad rush was that?
Yeah, Guardiola, such an amateur coach. He knows nothing about football. How can he put Lewandowski? Did you see Guardiola's face?
Yeah, seriously.
He was stunned after the 5th goal. He was holding his head. He's like, I can't believe this.
I mean, the time it took me to find my remote control just to increase the volume, he had already scored a couple of goals. In fact, Saru was tweeting yesterday.
Yeah, so I was tweeting on the football twaddle handle. And then I was like tweeting after the fourth goal, like, I can't keep up pace with my tweets and this. And then he goes on to score the fifth goal while I'm tweeting about the fourth goal. I was like, let it be. But so if people who are just wondering what exactly happened yesterday, the Bundesliga, Serie A and La Liga, all of them have midweek matches. So there was Wolfsburg, which is a strong team, versus Bayern Munich. Wolfsburg were leading 1-0
at halftime,
and they were actually fighting pretty well. And people thought it's going to be tough for Bayern, first of all, to win the match. I don't think anyone expected Bayern to draw, but they thought it'll be really tough for them to win. And then from 45th minute to 57th minute, it was just madness. Seriously. It reminded me of that game, man. Germany versus Brazil, 7-1.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my friend in the US, he had his lunch when Germany was leading, I think, about 1-0 or something. Then he like washed his hand, went to the washroom. He came back to his place. They were leading 5-0.
But yeah, that was a crazy, crazy one.
Yeah, so last night was absolutely nightmare. Coming back to the Premier League, Leicester City, the only unbeaten team.
Oh yeah, now they're the only unbeaten team.
Yes.
So again, they came back from 2-0 and they had a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, Leicester played Stoke and Stoke was leading 2-0.
2-0.
And everyone thought, okay, Stoke's already going to... And then Leicester does the same thing again. Second half, Riyad Mahrez, who is in the football twaddle team for the fantasy football.
Yeah.
He, thank God, he saved us in points in that game. I'd taken Chris Smalling. because people said Manu's defense is good, so I'd put Smalling and I'd put Darmian in that team. And then they go on to concede 2 goals against Southampton. They give me like 1 point each.
So that reminds me, I was reading in a group that actually out of whatever millions of guys who play Fantasy Premier League, there was one guy who had Zuma as a triple captain and he got 45 points the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
I mean, I don't know why he did it or whatever was the reason, but he got 45 points that day.
That is luck. We at Football Total, we are trying to see what is there a scientific way of trying to even select a team. That has to be pure luck. It can't be.
In fact, there was this very interesting thing I was reading. So after the City and West Ham match, the football manager, whosoever has developed the game, they actually started running simulations after the match.
Okay.
So what they do is they change the players, they change the formation, and then they see that what the result have been if this was the formation. So what they saw had Manchester City just play 2-1-4-2. I mean, they just changed their formation a little bit. They would have won the match 3-0.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a pretty interesting read. I'm not able to recollect what blog was it. Maybe we'll include it in some of the posts in our podcast.
Yeah. So let's come to this weekend matches before we talk about Sir Alex Ferguson. This Tottenham City, that's how the weekend's going to start. Arush, what do you think is going to happen?
I think it'll be a very difficult match too. I mean, even Tottenham is not playing to the best of their form. But even then, I think it'll be a difficult match for City for sure.
I mean, look at this. We know Manu is going to win against Sunderland. Until unless someone bets so heavily and then by luck, they win like millions of dollars. So if Tottenham draw against City and Manu beats Sunderland, Manu are on the top of the table.
Okay, and nobody thought of it like couple of weeks. Forget about couple of weeks, like 7 days back, nobody thought of that.
So City, basically the pressure is on City.
For sure.
To at least get something of this game. So that because Man U is breathing down their necks. Next is Liverpool, Aston Villa. Aston Villa are playing so badly.
Yeah, seriously.
They have like almost 11 new starters. Tim Sherwood, this is his big test. But Liverpool...
So, I don't know. I really don't know what to say about them. So this match, which they... It was a 1-1 draw against Norwich, right?
Yes.
And that was again at Anfield.
Yes.
Okay.
So that reminds me, there is this huge rumor over the last 2 days.
Oh yeah, I was reading it.
Liverpool have made an approach to Ancelotti. But then Liverpool have come out and actually denied it completely. And they said that we have not approached Ancelotti. If there's so many articles on it, there's obviously some smoke somewhere.
So, but Saru, just, for 1 second, if we assume Rodgers is going, who do you think actually are good contenders for the job now? Other than Ancelotti,
Other than Ancelotti? Look, I mean, there's this huge thing of Jurgen Klopp, all right?
Okay.
But then we need to be very sure of Jurgen Klopp he was there for Dortmund for 7 years.
Exactly.
He took 7 years to build a team in the Bundesliga. And actually, not even 7. They won in the 4th and 5th season, the league. But then they were at the bottom of the league last year. All right. And he's worked with one guy, the CEO of Dortmund, very closely in getting in cheap players, then developing them and doing that. So it's not going to be, it is actually not an easy job at all. So
and that too with a club like Liverpool.
Yeah, I mean, look, Liverpool, to be very honest to Liverpool and to be very fair to them, they have been quite patient. They don't change managers that often.
Exactly.
Benitez was given a huge run. Then there was like, Kenny Dalglish came in for
some time.
But then they've given, I think there's a Rodgers one,
fourth
two,
season,
fourth season,
fourth
right?
Season.
So they obviously have enough trust and they know it. But then whoever comes in, it's not going to be easy.
But I was actually thinking, who else can be there?
Probably that's the reason people are skeptical to fire. Who are the good managers in
where
the world?
AVB now.
AVB is with Zenit St. Petersburg in Russia.
Oh, okay.
So, but will they offer him the Liverpool job? Again, his only stint in Premier League, his two stints in Premier League was Chelsea.
And Tottenham.
He was all right in Tottenham, actually. He had, I don't know. He did quite decently in Tottenham, according to me. But then...
Yeah.
So that's about Liverpool. Southampton, Swansea City. That'll be a great match.
Exactly.
And
I think another very interesting match would be Leicester and Arsenal. I think it's for the fourth spot.
Come on, Arsene Wenger. Come on.
Yeah.
Beat at least ex-Chelsea manager. So Chelsea manager is out of your reach. Accept it. Move on. We'll give you an ex-Chelsea manager. See if you can beat him.
That's a good match.
And then Newcastle, Chelsea. Guys, I'm telling you, Chelsea is now, they are going to beat Newcastle. And if City lose, the point gap is down to 5 points.
Okay, so let's see actually. I mean, though the pressure is on City, but I'm sure that was just one of the matches. Okay, so now we get to another autobiography. I mean, what is it? I mean,
is it an autobiography, first of all?
Oh, isn't it?
It's his new book. So, yeah, let's...
It's his new book. It's his third book, right?
Yeah, it's his third book. I don't know if it's an autobiography. But the book is called Leading. And the man we're talking about is the greatest Premier League manager,
Sir Alex Ferguson.
The reviews of the book are like, okay, he's probably told the same old, at least for the first half of the book. But then there's some very interesting statements that have come out. So, according to him, he's managed only 4 world-class players. In his entire Man U career, which I'm not even a fan of Man U, so which I thought was like, what the hell? So then I went and read it. So his 4 players are basically Eric Cantona,
Ryan Giggs,
Paul Scholes, and Cristiano Ronaldo.
To be very honest, all 4 of them are good. I mean, there's no doubt
about
that.
Yeah, but then see, this is the thing, right? He's actually given an explanation in this book saying that the word world class is thrown around so easily these days. According to him, right now in the world, there are only 2 world class players.
And?
That is Messi and Ronaldo.
Okay.
All right. So if that is the benchmark of people who keep winning all the time and playing really well and consistently, probably other than Cantona.
There were a lot of players, for sure.
No, other than Cantona, you can say, okay, Scholes, Giggs and Cristiano obviously did well. But then this is the thing. In 99, after they won the treble and in that amazing amount of happiness, he wrote an autobiography.
Yeah.
And there he goes on to say, Cantona couldn't make it in the Champions League and all of that. And if you look at Cantona's record, he obviously propelled Man U in 92 when he came from Leeds.
Exactly.
But then he didn't play for France well. He didn't play very well for in the Champions League.
I think the only thing I remember Cantona for is his famous Kung Fu kick.
Not just Kung Fu kick. He's done some amazing movies also.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. He's dabbled in French erotica.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, getting back to those 4 players, I think more than Eric Cantona, there were players like Nistelrooy was there.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously a subjective debate. Whatever Fergie says. Yeah.
Nistelrooy, Roy Keane.
What about Peter Schmeichel?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, man. We are obviously going to read the book in the next 2-3 weeks. But then it seems kind of off to us that he's managed only 4 world-class. I got wondering, with only 4 world-class stars, he won so many Premier Leagues. What the hell? How great is he? That he had no stars at all. Then I read, there's no Nistelrooy. Nistelrooy scored 150 goals for Man U at an amazing rate. I mean, that is just like...
And the, I think one another major revelation which he's made in his book, that Moyes was actually not his first choice. Forget about his first
Guardiola
choice. He was not even his first, second, third, fourth. Like, Guardiola was there. And then actually, he also spoke about Mourinho being the next manager for United. But then
what happened?
Mourinho said, no, I have already made commitments to...
Is that what
Ibrahimovic and I want to go back to Chelsea? Is what
Fergie said. Fergie and Mourinho are almost saying the same thing, all right?
Hmm.
But then there have been enough reports that Man United board had a problem with Mourinho, thinking that he won't bring up youngsters from the academy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why they did not give the job to him. So what they in fact do is they get Moyes. And then they get Van Gaal, and then they spend £300 million.
But actually, so they were planning to have Ancelotti, Jurgen Klopp, Louis Van Gaal, Mourinho, and then finally they settled for
David Moyes.
Oh. But yeah, I think that will be one hell of a read. So
yeah, so if any one of you get hold of the book, please read us and let us know on our Twitter handle @footytwaddle. And yeah, let us know how you like the book. And ISL, guys, ISL, there's like 10 days to start with ISL. So entire next week, we are going to have series of podcasts on each team's preview and the preview of the first matches. And yeah, so you can listen into our podcast the entire next week to get a complete handle on Indian football and the upcoming ISL season.
So I'm sure there's going to be a very exciting ISL season with now a lot of exciting players already joined the ranks of ISL.
Yeah. Oh, before we go away, you know, Arsenal is playing Tottenham today in Carling Cup.
Oh, so we have a big derby match today, is it?
Oh, jeez. It's going to be such a big match. What a week it's been for Arsenal. Go to Croatia, come back, play Chelsea, get Gabriel sent off, then Cazorla goes off, and now they're playing their biggest rivals in Carling Cup. You think Arsene Wenger is going to continue his youngsters-only policy for Carling Cup now?
No, I don't think so. Not at least this week. Let's see, I think the match will start in another 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
At least the starting lineup will come. So let's see what happens over there. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, and we end today's podcast with a big shout to...
To the Japan.
The Brave Blossoms, as they're called now. The Japan rugby team who won against South Africa. And what an end to that match. I mean, they just finished it in the last seconds.
That was actually such a brave decision to not take the penalty and go for the scrum.
Yeah,
oh,
really,
that was brilliant.
Really.
If any of you have missed it, just read through it, try and understand a little. It is probably the biggest upset in any sport of the year, and it's obviously the biggest upset in the Rugby World Cup.
Though they got thrashed today by Scotland. 45-10.
Yeah, I lost interest after 31-10. By the way, you know, Mourinho was watching the New Zealand-Argentina game in Rugby World Cup the next day.
In fact, I think one of the matches is in Etihad Stadium also.
Yeah, he was looking for a defender. Alrighty, guys, so next week is going to be a very busy week for us. So we'll have our usual podcast, and then as already mentioned, we're going to have a series of podcasts. So want to get up to date on ISL, Football Twaddle on SoundCloud and iTunes is where you have to be. Alrighty, Arush, bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Ta-da.